believe I've got a great team down there. And tonight, I saw that. All right, but are we where we need to be? No, not quite yet. But I'm very positive about where we're going. And I love the resolve that they showed tonight. They've got a lot of spirit in there. I saw that last year before I took the job, and nothing's changed. So they're a great group to coach. Really enjoy coaching them. And like I said, we'll manage this loss and we'll take some great lessons out of it. And it'll make us better for the next weekend's game.
Hello, welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and with Sam currently hurtling through the air at 38,000 feet and absent from the show, where is my podcasting co-pilot? Yes, that's right. Old enough to remember when Ringway was called Ringway and every second plane taking off was owned by Sir Freddie Laker. He's our very own Douglas Bader of the show, although with less mobility, it's Tacklebag Squadron Leader, Dennis Waywell.
All right.
What are we going to do tonight, Dennis?
We've got no caveats.
Well, there might be one, actually. But is this going to be a third shorter? Now, I'm not on about players. I'm just on about the length of the podcast.
Could be. What I'm worried about is he always gives us stability. Because you and I can go down that rocky road. Should we try and get through the whole pod without swearing?
Well, I think I'm still 100% no swearing. After no, I'm not.
Two swear words last week. Sankey had upped his game, though, just to sort of fill in for you. I've only got a quarter of a coffee. Am I going to need more?
Are we talking about the latest disciplinary?
Oh, God. Can we keep away from it? Can we try and make this podcast a bit sizzly tonight?
Okay.
I've heard a lot of sort of dreary Yorkshiremen going on about, you know, the disciplinary panel and all this and that, and whether it's right or wrong. Can we try and stay off that topic and talk about rugby league? I think we should maybe contact IMG. We could become the official IMG promotional sizzle podcast.
Yeah. Well, think? I mean, with your shirt that you're wearing tonight, Mr. London, I'd certainly say that is very much of that ilk. Oh, that was a bit Yorkshire.
I ate quite a bit on the weekend because, of course, I had Mr. Sankey come and stay. Yeah. He didn't feel right all weekend. He kept touching his sides and he kept saying, I don't feel right. We went for a surf and he had to go and have a shit in the surf club. And then we went out for this fabulous meal at night and he went to the toilet four times and I thought, oh, his bladder's gone. And then the next morning he said to me, no, I went for a shit. Went for four shits. Best view in Sydney and he's too busy shitting. And then the next morning I said, right, stay off your phone. And we won't look at the score. And we'll watch the game together. And on the 68th minute, we were six points down, I think, at the time, or just around that. He went for another shit, and I thought, you've looked at your phone, Sankey. There's no way you'll leave. You could have held on to that for.
Do you think though that this is a side effect of shitistics?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, he hasn't done any statistics for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, maybe this is it. It's pent-up statistics.
Oh, we had a lovely time, though. An absolutely lovely time. Lovely time. And, you know, he says he's 12 stone. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. He got on the surfboard. It went 12 inches under the water. Christ. He must have hollow legs.
Does he change his Instagram to give us the best picture, use all the filters and things. Yeah. Is that what's happening?
I think so. Now, there's been a few complaints that we're getting a bit slow between words.
I mean,
we spoke on the phone the other day about that referee that refereed the Warrington game, and I called him Campbell, which he wasn't. It was Kendall. And I also went for Kershaw before Kendall. So look, we can leave this in. If it works, we'll leave it in. If it doesn't, I'll take it out. Okay, but I've got a little bit of a quiz for you. I've been online to look at ways of sort of getting the brain working quickly.
Right.
I've come up with a little rugby league quiz for you. Okay. Now, there's no right or wrong answers.
All right. Excellent.
It's all about the nervous system and how quickly you can get your brain to link up with your mouth.
How long are you putting in for this section then?
Hour.
Oh, fuck. Right.
Right. Okay. All right. So what I want you to do is what the first thing that comes to your head, into your brain, I want you to say, all right? More than 2 seconds and you fail, all right? So it's got to be very quick, all right? So it's a bit like, you know, when you say apple and you say pear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Question one. You ready? Sit forward. Sit forward.
All right.
Sit up. Get your back straight.
I am.
Let oxygen into your brain. Okay. Question one. Name me your fictitious rugby league team.
Pendlewick.
Have Pendlewick got a...
Pirates.
Pendlewick Pirates. Okay. Question two. Quicker this time, please. Where do Pendlewick Pirates play their home games?
Dunstable.
The ground's called Dunstable. That's it, is it? Dunstable, that famous
ground. Oh, so, no. Dunstable Galley. Galleon.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Question three. That was good. That was quicker. What is the name of your coach?
Bell End. Oh, come on. You know this was going to happen.
3 questions in and he's brought out the cock. Unbelievable. Right.
Fucking knew this was coming.
Question. What's the name of your team again?
Pendlewick Pirates.
Pendlewick Pirates have a wealthy owner. What's his name and how did he make his fortune?
George Snazzypols. And he made his fortune through selling his underwear to underprivileged women. You're going to cut that, aren't you?
Now, you actually repeated the question back to me then to give yourself more time. You're not allowed to do that. Yeah, not allowed to do that. Question
five.
I don't
like this game.
I want this one quick, really quick, out within a second. Question five. What is the club motto?
Titius Maitutus.
Which means?
Always tackle on the breast and not the armpit. This isn't good.
This has got you, hasn't it? It's got you wired. Look at you, frustrated. Oh, I can see you sweat. You're sweating.
My heart rate's gone up.
Three to go.
This would be no good for Sam. He'd have to go for his shit at this point.
I tried. I tried it on Sam while he was here. That's why we're doing it this week. Yeah. I mean, the delay was ridiculous. He kept asking me as well. Caveat. Okay, question six. What is the name of your club captain?
Benjamin Notide.
I thought you were going to say Benjamin Netanyahu then for a second.
Oh, God. Oh, no. This is really difficult.
I know. You can do this in Mrs. Waywell later. Question seven. Last year, your top try scorer was fired by the club under controversial circumstances. What happened?
He put his finger in the referee's backside. Oh, God.
This could relate to question eight. Final question. Come on, Dennis. You're nearly through. You're sweating. Look at the state.
I know. This is the most stressful I've ever done in this 6 years of podcasting.
Last question. I want a quick answer for this.
They've all been bloody quick and been shit.
Just whatever comes to you, whatever comes to mind straight away. I want you to say it. You ready? What did your star halfback say to Daniel Arnold off camera?
I mean, this is just not funny, is it? See, I'm just, you know what I thought then is, I put my mind into Sam's head and that came out. It was just the wrong thing to do. I thought it was going to be sensible then. Can't put that in.
Right, let's move on to the review. Okay, the team was Dufty, Aaron Lindop made his debut on the wing, King and Wrench in the centres, Ashton on the wing, Williams, Drinkwater, Harrison, Walker, Musgrove, Curry, Fitzgibbon and Crowther at 13. Interchange bench was Vaughan, Philbin, Dudson and Powell. Here's the highlights.
My Musgrove. It's on the last. Williams involved at Drinkwater. And here's the young man, Lindner. Oh, on debut. What an amazing story. On debut has 17-year-old Aaron Lindner given Warrington the lead. And wow, what a start to his career. On debut, 17 years of age. It's vanished out of reach. Abdul again will target Lindop. Oh, it's left there by Dundee. It'd be Abdul. Can Abdul get the ball down? He's got it down. The moonlight is so weak. Chaps it here for the Dragons with McMeekin. And now Abdul. Abdul sprays the ball with a chance for Morg. He'll go over. He's spotted the gap. My blackness calls me back. I sat the siren home. Duffy in there for Ford. Ford with the offload. Chance again for Duffy. And they did go expansive. They did have a go. In the city of my sleepers, when the rings are wrong, wrong again. Give me my blues and blue.
Final score, Catalans 16, Wire 10.
Mm.
Now, I mean, we had it a little bit further out, didn't we? We thought about 16 points. I have a funny feeling Sam was closest. I think Sam may have gone for 6 points.
Did he not say that we'd win?
No, he said we'd narrowly lose, I think. That's what he said.
Yeah. Give him
I mean, there's so much to talk about. It's very hard to conclude this sort of game because we've got to talk about individual players, collective team performance, Catalan's performance, referee's performance.
You're really going for it here, aren't you?
I know. I mean, I didn't come away feeling particularly frustrated. I kind of thought the writing was on the wall before the game. So I wasn't particularly...
I have to say, having watched it, and by the way, I have set up my iPad here with the highlights so I can watch them as we talk about them, because that the first time I could actually watch this properly. And I actually got a good feeling about what I saw in the early stages of the match, I have to say. I thought, you know, this is all looking, you know, pretty positive. Playing out the sets of six. Yeah, you know, good defence. Yeah, it's good. So I was buoyed.
Before that sort of first try, I thought Fitzgibbon played well. I thought he just added a bit of niggle. He's big, broad shoulders, doesn't go in half-heartedly in the tackle. I thought he was pushing people around.
It's just that's the NRL experience there, isn't it? I do get the feeling that some of these guys who come over from the NRL, the first few games, they're almost still in that mode, and then it just drops off.
I think he'll soften as it goes on. Well, 18th minute, debutant Aaron Lindop scores in the corner. Drinkwater misses the conversion from the touchline, and it's 4-0 to Wire. Not much to the try apart from Lindop's finish, which was superb. Banged his head as he went in. As you know, I know Aaron. I've known Aaron's family all my life, so you know, it was a proud moment to watch him go in. I had a chat to him when he was out here. He nearly came to stay actually while he was out with the squad over the summer. A quick word from Aaron's mum, Mandy. Mandy went over and surprised Aaron for the game. She wrote, "What a night. Words cannot really explain my feelings today. I've been the most nervous at surprising him, seeing his reaction, worried about someone hurting my boy, even though he's more than capable of handling himself, and having such utter pride when I saw him running out onto the pitch. I've laughed, cried again, tears of joy, and hugged the most gorgeous young man. Well done. I could not be more prouder of you if I tried. The way you handled yourself today with skill, restraint, and pretending not to be hurt when you were, was immense. You are a tough cookie, and you are a natural. You look like that's home to you, and you belong there. I'm so glad to have shared this experience with you. I love you, Mum."
Who passed the ball? Who passed the ball to him?
Wrench passes the ball to him.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. Wrench did a pretty nice sort of step there, drawing the man in and drew the winger in and made the space for Lindop, even though there was a shitload to do from that position. And didn't he do well? Bloody hell. One of his first touches, flying in the corner, one-handed.
I saw a guy on Gladiators this week. He was a standing. One of them got injured, so they brought this standing guy from Yorkshire. I think he was from Leeds, like that commentator, Mark Wilson. And he was going through one of the ones where you have to get through four of the gladiators to get to the other end. And as he finished, he did a roll like Lindop.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they said to him, oh, you finished with a forward roll. And he said, oh, that's my wrestling training. So you took your head in, get your chin into your neck, and you do a little forward roll.
I've actually paused it with Lindop's head at 90 degrees to his shoulders as he's just placed the ball down. Ouch. It is when it just so happens, I can't believe it's just paused on this, but he didn't tuck his neck in on that. I mean, but at the end of the day, he's focused on getting the ball down, isn't he? So fair play.
Brave. I would say, Aaron, I'd have probably got the second one because I'm currently a little bit overweight at the moment. I don't think they would have stopped me in the corner for that second one. You know, the one where he got pushed into touch at the end. I'm in there. Get in.
Yeah.
You'd have given me that one. Look at the state of me. There's no way you're stopping me from 2 metres.
No, you can't stop you from anything. Right, move on. Dear.
38th minute, and just before half-time, Jordan Abdul scores following a confusing mix-up from Lindop and Dufty. Conversion is good, and Wagga in at the break, 6-4. Was wrong on this one? I mean, they were both too polite, but I think that ball should always be the fullbacks. And when you've got a guy who's played NRL, I think he should be screaming for that ball.
He shouldn't be screaming for it. He should be getting in a position to get that ball. Let's be honest.
When you play cricket and you play in the slips, you all have a chat before who's having which ball. You know, if it's going to the right of you, are you having it at second slip or are you letting it your third slip have it? You know, same with the wicketkeeper. You always see that confusion when a wicketkeeper comes across and takes it from first slip or, you know, good slip corners like, you know, the Australian slip corner of the 80s. They were all in unison. And I just think when you're training every day of the week, Dufty should be going around to his wingers and saying, in any situation like that, that's my ball.
I don't think he
communicates. I think it's the finer details of a good fullback that make the difference.
I mean, it's easy for us to sit here and say, is he lacking a bit of courage in them situations, running into two big lads, you know, getting the ball? You know you're going to get a head-on collision. I just think his defence has always been the problem with Dufty.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't think he's never that assertive when it comes to dealing with that sort of situation. And I think, if I remember rightly, he's let a few balls bounce and he's never taken them on the full. So, you know, that's something he's got to work on because, you know, I like Dufty. I think he offers a lot in attack, but, you know, I mean, on this game, you could argue that he possibly made up for it later, but it's not good enough, is it, if you're going to be a championship side?
You made a point there about Catalans. They're very purposeful under the under their attack. When they put a high ball up, they don't half make sure that when the ball comes down in a Warrington player that there's someone there to absolutely wallop the Warrington player. And I thought that was a huge contrast. In the second half, I think Drinkwater put a ball up, and Wrench just waits for his opposing centre to catch it and then just gives him a little cuddle. I can remember years and years ago, Paul Cullen, who, you know, a lot of attributes were missing from his game, but one that wasn't was aggression. And I remember him saying that, you know, first time he got the chance to tackle his opposing centre, he'd wallop him. And then for the rest of the game, they've got one eye on Cullen. If I was the opposing centre to Wrench, I'd be like, oh, this is easy. He's only going to come in and give me a little cuddle. There was no aggression apart from Fitzgibbon.
Yeah.
It's all a bit soft.
Let's be honest, with the new rules like they are, everybody's becoming a bit conscious now of what they're doing. And, you know, if that fullback or whoever's taken the ball, the first thing they're going to do is try and duck under. You're going to smash them and take their head, and you're just going to get penalised. Plus, also, the clamping down on late tackles in the air. But looking at that bit of footage there, by the time the Catalan player gets the ball, there's four Catalans in support.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
you know,
doing quite well,
our defence.
Doing quite well without
this positivity.
Positivity, and we're sort of reading between the lines, in-depth analysis. This is great.
You know,
I think that quiz really helped you. Jesus. I think that quiz has got you on the edge of your seat.
I don't think it has. Are we being positive? Are we looking for the positives?
Carry on.
You've just failed. Do you want to take a test?
All froze then when you said that. That did then. Oh, dear. Just after the break, Mickey McAlorum is sent off following a shoulder to Philbin's head. Can I point out there's been a lot of dropped H's on the commentary? There's been a lot of Eds and not heads.
Really?
Yeah, really annoys me. Really annoys me. So,
who was commentating on this that's made you think that then?
Was it the lad from Leeds? Was it that Mark? What's his name? I can't remember his name.
Mark Wilson.
He's from Leeds. You can't really let him off. When you've got,
was he commentating on the Leeds match?
I think he's from. Is he from Armley?
Could be. I was there. Well, let's not talk about that. As soon as it happened, I thought that wasn't. All right, you might get 10 minutes, but when it was a red card. And then I thought to myself, are we going to be hearing a lot of mitigating factors? The words mitigating factors this year, I think is going to become the new cliche, isn't it, for Super League? Can we have a section on that?
I'm going to be sectioned if I keep talking about this for too long. The minute that McAlorum was sent off, I turned to Mr. Sankey, who could have been in the toilet at the time. I can't remember because he was up and down. And I said, he'll even this up. Kendall will even... How many years have I been watching British Rugby League where a player gets sent off and then they even things up? I thought, he's going to look for his opportunity and someone's walking.
Yeah.
It's like the sun coming up in the morning. It's just...
You don't really see that though, do you?
Positive. 45th minute sees the Dragons extend their lead with a penalty to make it 8-4. 51st minute, an easy try for Catalans as Morg strolls over the Warrington's exposed right edge. Morg converts his own try to take the score to 16-10. No, 14-10. Sorry, 14-4. Jesus, all over the place.
Yeah.
Did you have much hope at this point? I mean, you know, Sam's gone off for a shit. I can't say I was on the edge of the sofa. I'm just sort of watching it thinking, well, this is the inevitable. They're down to 12 men as well, let's not forget.
Yeah. I was definitely thinking immediately that, oh, okay, we are going to get the win away. I think, you know, the odds are that we should be able to convert this difference. But in the 5 minutes following, I thought to myself, everybody looks to have switched off a little bit. They don't look. I don't know whether that was because Catalan were playing the ball faster, because I think you mentioned that, and also whether they were just stifling the game. But we just didn't respond to being a player up. And is that the killer instinct that Sam Burgess is looking for, do you think? Because that really was an opportunity to say, right, let's just go and smash these guys now and put a big score on.
I'll come on to the props at the end and we'll have a look at the stats on their yards and the differences between the two teams. But just while I remember, I was sent a message about the Lee-Warrington game that Lee played the ball half a second quicker than Warrington during the friendly. Warrington, I think, put in a little bit of a complaint in terms of Lee only put their foot on the ball four times during the entire match. In the RFL, we're going to look at it and clamp down on Lee. And they did at Huddersfield. So didn't do them any good. They kind of got away with... I think the ref said they'd attempted to put their foot on the ball, but after it was reviewed, it was clear that they hadn't and they were sent a little warning. So,
Who was the ref?
I don't know. I honestly... Is that you, Mother?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, possibly.
What did you think? I mean, just before you move on, I mean... You know, you've got almost an overlap on that edge and you've got 12 players. What's your reading of that?
Well, I think sometimes 12 players gives you a bit more width to throw the ball around. So 12 players isn't always, you know, it is an issue over 80 minutes, but I thought they handled that very well. They're already on the front foot. By this stage, they've run for nearly 100 metres more than Warrington. We've backpedalled for 100 metres, so we're tired. Is that 100 metres worth more than a man? Probably. So you've got to balance it all out. But we did look exposed, didn't we? We didn't really commit. Lindott was left with two on the wing that he had to go for. He was marking a centre and a winger. I'm not sure why. I mean, how did he get on the outside of Wrench? Wrench is quick.
That's what I mean. I'm trying to look at, I don't think my video footage goes back to see that, but it looks like a big prop had made some metres the tackle before, and then that set it up, and obviously most of the players are on the other side of the pitch at that stage, but
yeah.
Disappointing, I'd say.
I've lost track of the score. I think at this point the score's 14-4, and then a brilliant 1-2 from Dufty and Vaughan sees Wyatt, Aussie fullback, score under the sticks. Dishwater adds the 2-14-10. Vaughan again, isn't it? I quite liked him coming off the bench. I don't know whether that was because he hadn't played, but I thought he did big minutes after he came off the bench. You know, it was whereas last year Powell was using him from the start and he was going off. I thought that worked quite well for us, you know, to have an impact like Vaughan coming on. But you can tell he's played Test football for Australia. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's intelligent. Yeah. He's got an offload. Didn't panic. Took his time. No. Good try.
I think when I look at that again, he's running at the line and he's reliant on his big size to take him over the advantage line. And the other half of his thought process is immediately looking over his shoulder and not paying attention to how he's going to land on his front. So he had the full intention of doing that. So that looks like a planned play. If a training field play.
I think that is our best move. It's one of our only moves. That's that inside ball pass. You know, we do it from a penalty last year where Ratchford takes it on the inside. It works the best for us. But then in the 69th minute, in traditional classic Super League substandard refereeing, Kendall sends Crowther to the sin bin. Do I need a coffee for this?
Well, I'm hoping you've already had it. Did you see the clip from the other angle I sent you?
But match review panel, what? Did they not get that clip? Fucking hell.
What are mitigating factors? Does like hardly touching a player, you know, it's just so frustrating. I do feel sorry for the referees. I said this at the beginning of the season, is that, you know, they're implementing the rules that they've been asked to do. It's going to be complicated now with what mitigating factors are. So I'd like to see a list. If we could have that on the big screen as they're making this decision, that'd be good. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, there was no touch on it. And are we going to see, and we've mentioned it before, the Jurgen Klinsmann of rugby league sneaking into the game with players falling down and sprawling after being hit?
Yeah. We could call it the Neil Holding Award, because when Saints had Neil Holding playing in the halves, before TV cameras were around, he would chip the ball over the top and then he'd fall on his back dead, not even touch a player. He used to get that many penalties. So possibly the Neil Holding Award could be one. And he used to play with his socks down like Henderson Gill. I do like a player that plays with their socks down.
Yeah, there's not many who do that.
Can we get a list of players that have played over the years with their socks down? Billy McGinty. Billy McGinty had his socks down.
Yeah, I think Bob Jackson used to play with his socks down towards the end of the game.
When he was tired. That's a good one. I think Peter Hicku plays with his socks down.
Yeah, he does. He's back actually in Super League, isn't he? I didn't know that.
Yeah. He probably needs to pull them up looking at his goal kicking. But
there we go. Very good.
Right, after a couple of failed penalty conversions early in the second half by Catalans and a missed drop goal, Morg finally puts one over to make it 16-10 in the 73rd minute. Wire endeavour to even the score up the final 7 minutes, but look bereft of attacking ideas to leave a final score of Catalans 16, Wire 10. Right, let's have a look at a few individual players and leading the meters.
Just before you do, I'll just I've just wrote a couple of things down. as I said at the beginning, I did think that there was a different feel about the team. So there has been a change, and there's some positive effects there for sure. The defence looked a lot better. I thought that defensively we were good. The attacking options consisted of a high kick to Toby King. I think he's going to be not necessarily Toby King in this case, but high kick and challenging for it is going to be a thing. And passing at the line is also going to be another feature, I think, that Sam Burgess is after. That's my summary.
How many of those are we going to drop?
All of them.
Okay, good.
Probably. Yeah,
so looking at the stats, so King led the way 124 metres. Now, there is a man who's been at Wigan for 12 months and has toughened up. Mm. I mean, Curry, Musgrove...
Was he playing?
Curry, Musgrove and Philbin made less metres together than our centre, King. Now, you could say, well, King made a lot of those metres because he broke downfield, but he didn't. He made all those metres from taking the ball at the play of the ball or at first receiver and running into brick walls.
Mm.
We said it last year, and I'll say it again. Curry, 38 metres. 38 metres.
It's not on, is it? King is definitely... I almost feel like he's got to win the fans over again, or, you know, certainly all those doubters, you know, after moving him on. And, you know, I think after the first game, I'd say, actually, like you pointed out, he's actually a bit of a standout performer. He looked the part and he's different, isn't he?
He's different. He's toughened up. He's been at Central Park, whatever it's called these days, for 12 months. 124 metres. Went looking for the ball time and time again. You said just before, when the big bomb goes up, he's the one that he's looking to catch it and catches it consistently well. Probably should say that's down to Steve Price's coaching. High kick to the corner for Toby King. But 124 metres, right behind him, as always, Vaughan. We played basically the game, and this is what we said before the season kicked off. We haven't got the engine room. The backs cannot entertain unless you've got the engine room in rugby league. And we don't have the forward pack. We do not have the props to have any influence on this Super League this year. We played with 2.5 props. Harrison tries hard. He's a little bit tall. His centre of gravity is a little bit too tall, so they chop him down. But he worked hard. But then such a drop-off. Musgrove looked promising, but does what he always does in the NRL. Was taken off. Not sure if he was injured or not, but he only gets so many minutes out. Same in the NRL. You only get so many minutes out of Musgrove. And Philbin, a shadow of the player he was 5 or 6 years ago.
He's gone backwards.
I think you've got to bring in Bullock and Wood for the next game. I think you've got to look at bringing two.
Well, breaking news, Sam Burgess has just been interviewed for the pre-match and he said that he's not bringing Joe Bullock back. He needs more time away and to improve and he's not challenging for a place. So for some reason, he doesn't see what we're seeing. But, you know, he knows best maybe at this point.
This is the trouble that if Sam Burgess is coaching in the NRL and he's coaching Souths and he has an underperforming second row forward or prop, he can call in another 10 players that are of the same quality. But because you've got such a fragile squad, you can't upset people. And I think that's what happened to Powell a bit. You know, he upset too many. They turned against him. It's a real fine line between telling a player you're not good enough or bringing someone else in. We just don't have the depth.
You say that, but you listen to Sam Burgess's story. And I did listen to a podcast he was on before the season when he was announced. And he was saying that when he was at Bradford, Steve McNamara kept sending him back and saying, no, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that. And he had to keep going back to the well and, you know, training harder, this, that and the other. Pretty clear.
The well? Where is this in Bradford, is it? They're renowned for wells, are they?
Yeah, yeah.
Not the mill, the well. What were they manufacturing? What was down the well?
But they weren't. It's just a water source to help with the manufacturing, I imagine.
Right.
But, you know, anyway, he had to keep going back to this well for inspiration and for obviously, you know, training harder. No, not John Wells. No, don't think John Wells ever did this. It's only natural.
While I remember, you know, we did Curry of the Week, right? Mm-hmm. We could do Well of the Week, where we put a pail down into the well, and we bring Josh Drinkwater up every week, and we go today's water source is, and we could do a whole.
But it's
list.
Always Josh Drinkwater.
No.
He's got a brother though, hasn't he?
We could do dishwater, tap water, sewerage water, stagnant water, sparkling water if he has a really good... What would be the best water, sparkling?
Probably. Yeah. Are you purposely distracting me from really good point?
When you mentioned John Wells, you went off on a tangent.
I didn't mention John Wells.
Back to John Wells.
So Sam Burgess has gone back to this well. And he's said, oh, what's going on? It's not wishing well. He's not like, you know, just wishing this.
Is it like that one the one at Burwarsley or Beeston that's like, I've never been to the bottom?
Beeston? You're making this up now.
No, Beeston Castle's got a well. No one's ever been to the bottom.
Oh, that's interesting. We've got loads of wells around here as well. We've actually got wells just near Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
After going to this well, he's then gone back and he's been turned back again, time and time again, until he actually gets his chance. He's going to employ this with his forwards. He's going to think that they can do the same as him. And I think you mentioned this last week, where his expectations of the forwards might be a bit too high for some of them.
So you don't think Bullock will go on and win a grand final in the NRL and get the man of the match? No.
No.
Right. Okay.
No.
All right. Now, there was a little bit of criticism on X, whatever it's called, about the stats. You put the stats up and people go, well, those stats aren't right for Josh Drinkwater because Josh Drinkwater's a halfback and that doesn't mean anything. We know it doesn't mean anything. Move your intelligence up a little bit. They're just stats. Read the stats the way you want to read them. They are just the stats. I can't put a big caveat next to Josh Drinkwater or George Williams. There's certain things that stats don't show. But
something bothered you. Something bothered you this week.
Fuck off, telling you. Put all this effort in and you get people criticising stats. The stats are the stats. We're not trying to have a narrative about any particular
player. Is this just because
player.
Sam's not here that you're getting all defensive about stats? I imagine he gets these letters all the time, but he never says anything. He never says a word.
Well, you know why? Because he learnt, you know, Magnus Magnusson. Do you remember Magnus Magnusson?
Yeah.
He was a statistician and also clearly on record breakers. Sam worked under him and Sam would go to him with his theses and papers. And Magnus Magnusson would say, go back to the well and do that. And it was never.
This will pale into
insignificance. Oh, dredge that one up, didn't you? Right. Yeah. Okay. So King, 124. While you think of another one, I'll do the stats. Vaughan, 117. Ashton, 115. Harrison, 113. Dufty, 109. Williams, 79. Crowther, 78. Walker, 62. Musgrove, 55. Philbin, 53. Wrench, 50. Fitzgibbon, 47. Drinkwater, 40. Curry, down there again on 38. Powell, 20. And Dudson, on 18.
Have you missed Jack and Jill?
I've missed Aaron Lindott because the Super League, basically their website crashed because Aaron Lindott hadn't had a picture taken of him. And they didn't have him in the system, so they couldn't put him up. So he had obsolete stats, nothing at all. In the tackles, Walker led the way on 49. Curry put a shift in with 39. Harrison, 29. Vaughan, 29. Usual suspects. Powell came on, made 28 tackles. Down at the bottom, Musgrove on 10. Dudson on 10. Has Dudson got, like, has he got pictures or something of someone at the club? What's going on? What is this? What happened?
Something to do with Professor Broomhead, I heard. I mean, let's be honest. Before we get on to Dudson, I'd just like to mention Danny Walker again. I think, in contrast to Philbin, who seems to have, sort of drifted, I think, Danny Walker is really stepping up. And I think, although, we haven't got Clark, and I believe Clark is supposed to be doing quite well at Saints, I think Danny Walker is actually a good understudy who's come in and actually offers the same potential. Because he's younger and he's obviously got more playing years ahead of him. So I think it works well for us.
Has he dyed his hair?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing. I think he's just let it grow a bit.
That's not a natural colour. It was too black. Did you not notice it? Looked like a microphone. I think he's been dark. Keep an eye on that. Make a note of that.
I'll just make a note. Sean Connery said, "Do the collars match the cuffs, dear?" That was the... I don't know who that was. Spy Who Loved Me or something.
Would you like a drink, Miss Mary Penny?
Oh, that sham's absolutely superb.
I told you to only blow the bloody doors off.
I assure you my intentions are strictly dishonourable. Should we just carry on with this?
If you had to have a Bond in your team, who would you... I think Roger Moore would be quite composed at fullback.
Oh, you know what? You pick... I knew you'd pick that south of the river. Roger Moore. Jesus, the worst Bond.
I'd put Connery in the front row. Daniel Craig. I reckon Craig wouldn't do any work. We'd be looking at his stats every week. Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's all bloody wishy-washy.
He looks a bit like Josh Drinkwater, doesn't he?
George Lazenby, Hooker.
I like George Lazenby.
Mm.
No, well, I would think he would be like what do you call it, second row or loose.
Mm. Mm. Pierce Bronson, second row, quite tall.
Yeah. I think so. Mm.
Very interesting.
What about David Niven?
Oh, now there, I would see more as the club doctor.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I like that.
Catalans ran for 1,214 metres at an average of 7.3 metres per carry. In comparison, Wire ran for 1,179 metres at an average of just 5.66 metres per carry. Mm. There's your difference. There's your engine room.
Yeah.
I've just changed my car. I've gone from a 2 litre to a 1 litre. Now, it's nippy. I'll tell you that. It's nippy. It's got a turbo engine.
Must be economical.
Three-cylinder. I'm not sure about that yet. I'm disillusioned with which petrol to put in at the moment. I'm umming and ahhing at the pump. But put the speedboat on the back. There's no torque. There's no torque at all. I'm saying we've got a lot of one-cylinder engines out there on the field. We need to
got a speedboat and you would have spent your money on a speedboat, it would have been second-hand off Bullseye. Let's be honest.
Did they ever win it? Did anyone ever win the speedboat?
No. What did Sam have to say about this game?
Well, the day after, the morning before, I'm back in Melbourne after the fabulous hospitality of Mr. and Mrs. London. I say fabulous hospitality, but they did make me work for it by taking me on a bushwalk in flip-flops and I had to remove several leeches. Anyway, the match. And after some early pressure, I thought we stood up well and scored the try with a good finish from young Lindop. Toby King looked strong, and that edge with Fitzgibbon, King and Ashton looks like it could be productive for us. However, the right edge, Curry, Wrench and Lindop, looks small by comparison, despite them probably having more pace. The disappointment was the second half. You would not have thought Catalans were a man down. They upped the pace and the intensity, but we didn't match it until late in the day. The positives are we stayed in the game and we showed effort and commitment, but the negative, at times we were making the same errors as last year. But on to Hull, where I'm expecting us to win. Finally, a word from Mrs. Sankey. How did you find your weekend with the Londons?
Absolutely fabulous, except for the leeches.
God, listen to that. I mean, that's edited together. The pauses now between his sentences. Christ, I think he's had a stroke half the time. He was quite, I would say, on my couch, he was more happy clapper than shittistician, I would say.
Really?
Yeah. When you're in the room with him. At one point, Curry did absolutely fuck all. And I pointed it out to him and he went,
Yeah, but you've got to go back 17 plays because that's where the issue was.
Oh, Jesus.
I wonder what his process is then. Is it to go for his shit and then think about what numbers he's going to come up with or what?
Sam's flying home at this very moment. I was tracking him.
What do you think he's doing on that plane now?
He's probably still still going on about the fact he missed Taylor Swift in Melbourne, because the day he flew up to Sydney, he was hoping to get restricted view Taylor Swift tickets, but
didn't happen.
Well, came up to see me, didn't he, instead?
Oh, so, right, yeah.
That was it.
That's a much better deal. But the important thing here is he going to join the Mile High Club on the way back?
That's a good point.
Is that an option?
I changed all the linen after he left, dirty bugger.
Did you?
That went on a hot wash.
Oh, I thought you were going to say on a fire.
Anyway, he's not here to defend himself, so.
No, I know, but I have just picked up on a few things, and you better get that caveat button ready because you're going to have to hit it. He basically said the same errors as last year, however.
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
They showed effort and commitment. So he caveated that.
Got it in, didn't he?
Yeah,
got it in. Just couldn't help himself.
I think he moved his sentences round to try and catch us out, but it was definitely in there, that caveat.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, on to the other results from round one. Hull 0, Hull KR 24, Leeds 22, Salford 16, Lee 8, Huddersfield 16. Well, Lee at home. I've got them down as home here. Don't know. Saints 40, London 4. In Castleford 4, Wigan 32. I think Darryl ran up 100 points for Wakefield. So
110.
He also won away at Catalans.
Ah.
Just to remind everyone.
Okay. So, I think this round of Super League, and in even watching the Warrington game as well, because of the new rules, I think it's affecting the results somewhat. I don't think that a team can ever get into its stride because of the stop-start nature. It's almost like watching Six Nations Rugby Union.
Oh, Christ.
There was one point where Kendall blew up for...
Kendall or Campbell?
The other one.
Kershaw.
Kershaw. And he blew up for basically markers not stood square at the play of the ball. The marker moved off to the left, but the ball went the opposite way. Now, he blew up for that, and there was no advantage to the team. There was no disadvantage to anybody. I just think you might as well let the game run. If the ball had gone the other way, then maybe you would have upset the options of the attacking team, maybe an advantage for the defending team. Just blow up straight away. But what are you blowing up for when it's not even impacting on the game? You might as well blow up for somebody picking the nose at behind the sticks. It's just fucking pointless, and it's adding.
Said we weren't going to swear. Look, you've got. I calmed you down with that quiz at the start, and look at you, you've kicked in. Do you remember Jerry Kershaw? Because I'm pretty sure he's an absolute lookalike of Kershaw. Used to sell crab sticks around Warrington on a Friday night. Who bought those? Did anyone ever buy them? Like, really?
I don't think so. Do you not remember one of our friends dating a lady that looked like...
Yeah. I remember that.
Give him a shout out.
Right, so any early favourites? Saints look shit up with Clark. He's having Have you seen him on Instagram? He's grinning on every picture. He's like, woohoo, I'm behind a big pack. I'm finally behind a big pack that works. Got two centres that take the ball up. Two second rowers that... put in a shift. I'm going to have fun of you.
He hasn't got a kicking game, though. So that's his downfall, isn't it? He's not the complete player.
Can you stop caveating? Can you stop it?
I didn't say they were great. I'm just saying he's not got, just being balanced. There's only two of us, for God's sake.
Jesus.
Have you got any favourites from what you've seen? Because you've not watched any other matches.
I haven't watched any of it. Although I'm quite pleased that Sky Plus doesn't seem to have the rights for Australia. I'm not quite sure how it's working. But I got every game on the weekend. Not that I watched any of them. I got every game for £4 a month.
Just nice to know that they're there if you wanted to.
You should. I tell you what, Sam nearly creamed his pants. We were in the car waiting for Mrs. London and Mrs. Sankey. They were, you know, doing whatever they were doing. And I said, look at this, Sam. And I pulled out my phone and I split my phone into like different, you know, bits so I could watch all the games at once. And he took a picture of it and sent it off to all his mates. He got very giddy about that when he saw that. I think he was frustrated that the NRL app could do that. But yeah, so yeah, £4 a month. I'm currently playing for all of Super League. So, well, there's a loophole going on there.
So I've gone for the Super League Plus package. And as I mentioned, this would give me the opportunity to watch every game this season, which I believe that's why I purchased this. And thought, well, OK, there was one little loophole in there that if a game is shown or the two games shown on Sky, they wouldn't be available for 48 hours on Super League Plus. So I patiently waited this week for the two games that were shown on Sky. Again, I wasn't intending watching them, but it's nice to know that they're there. And sure enough, they turned up. One was 2 minutes 30 and 1 minute was 3 minutes odd. It was just the highlights. So you can't watch the full game. Now, why am I bothered about that? Well, Hull are playing Warrington on Sky Sports this week, and therefore I won't be able to watch the game, even if I do a likely lads, for 48 hours. I feel like I've been missold.
I'll give you my pass for KO. We'll watch it together on KO. Okay. Yeah. But it's costing me £4 a month, so you can send a couple of quid.
Do you accept traveller's checks?
I had all my traveller's checks nicked in Ibiza by a girl called Bubbles. Got them all back.
You're always having trouble, aren't you, with these things? What was that other place you were caused havoc?
Oh, they were the days, happy days.
Are you going to write a book on this?
Yeah. Okay. What's the title going
to
be?
What's the title? You've got to answer it now. First to
London,
go.
London.
I like it. It's like location, yeah. But London.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Well done.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
James Harrison is the latest Wire prop to extend his contract. Harrison has put pen to paper, which will see him stay with Warrington until the end of the 2026 season. Harrison will turn 28 in June. Is it still pen to paper, or is it sort of like a Palm Pilot now? Is it like a digital Palm? Because sign a lot of things with the digital Palm Pilot. I went to the bank the other week and I had to sign papers on a screen like that. No tangible
sign papers
paper.
On a screen.
No.
You're mixing up your metaphor.
Are we nearly there? How long have we got to go?
Listen, I want to know what you think about Harrison signing again. I think
yes, good signing. Best years ahead of him. He'll fill out another stone. Good signing.
Is he too
Works
tall?
Hard.
Is he too
oh,
tall?
Oh, I've not thought of that. I did write down my starting 13 under 5'9" team, but unfortunately my laptop's crashed. I've got a black screen on my Hewlett-Packard laptop. I'm going to try and get the information off it today. I couldn't remember who one of my centres was. I'll try and remember. Do you want me to try and remember my team? So my team was Dufty at fullback, Drummond and Richard Henare on the wings. I put Alan Bateman in the centres because he always tackled around the legs. He's a good one, isn't
he? I'll give you that. Qualified.
Can't remember who the other centre was. I think it was Finau. Was it Finau? I think it was Finau. Front row, Les Boyd, Mark Roskell and Phil Sumner. And then in the second row, I put George Mann, Danny Nutley and Sunbed Mark Thomas at 13. There you go. It's quite
That's not bad.
Low centre of gravity team.
Low centre of gravity, yeah. This is going to be the future, isn't it, of players under 5'9".
Oh, I didn't do low my half-backs. So my half-backs were Paul Bishop, who used to tack around the ankles.
Yeah.
And I went Alan Langer.
Yeah, so Alfie Langer.
Yeah. Good team, that. Good team. Mm. One prop that won't be joining Wire is Sam Burgess's brother, Tom. There had been rumours Tom would join his brother Sam at Warrington, but instead he has signed a 3-year contract with the Huddersfield Giants from 2025. Burgess has made over 225 appearances for his current NRL team, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He will be 33 years of age by the time he's settled back into life in Yorkshire.
The way you said settled back life in Yorkshire.
Settle back into, well.
Will they be? Will Huddersfield be sending him to the well? He wouldn't fit down the well, would he? He's a big lad.
He's a
big lad.
You don't think he's got much to offer, really, do you? You think he's probably expended his strength and his resilience and so on.
Great player, but he turns 33 in April 2025. Mm. Genetically, his twin brother's hips went. I would have thought he'd have been better moving to the Gold Coast like Barry Sheen did. Barry Sheen was full of nuts and bolts. That's why he went to the Gold Coast, because the dry air kept the arthritis off.
Yeah. You are right.
So I would have thought he'd have got 3 more years at the Gold Coast. I have a funny feeling it's quite damp in Huddersfield.
I also think that maybe the Ian Watson's got quite an advanced strategy that, you know, him and Chris Hill would probably be setting this new slow pack movement that's going to come in 2025, 26. So
yeah.
Something's maybe up. You know, he's up to something there.
I would have liked him this year and possibly next year, but, gee, that's a lot of expense for a 33-year-old.
I think we've dodged a bullet there. Imagine putting your brother in the dressing room and then he's able to, like...
Mine would do fuck all. Put my brother in the dressing room, he'd do nothing. He'd just he'd just be playing his guitar all the time. That's all he does, just plays his guitar. Loves his guitar, my brother.
He'd be going, "Hey, bruv, what's they been talking about?" And I think, would it help me next week when we put the strategy together?
Do you not think that conversation would go on and that would undermine the dressing room?
Was that Sam Burgess or George Lazenby? Which one were you doing there?
he had his head down the well.
Fitzpatrick was asked by the Warrington Guardian whether Wire would win the competition in a long-winded monologue. Fitzpatrick concluded by saying, "I am confident in saying we're going to have a team that represents what this community and town is about." So child obesity. Child obesity, by the sounds of it.
You know what? If I would have said what's the first thing to come into your mind, you probably would have had 3 or 4 answers to go to, wouldn't you? Eh?
Oh, dear.
I've got nothing to say on that. We can't say much on that because Sam sat in front of him.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Sam made that quite clear. Good on you, Sam. Excellent. Just the 16 players went before the match review panel, with 12 players receiving bans, including Wire's Geordie Crowther. Crowther receives a 1-week penalty for contrary behaviour. He will miss the game against Hull, as too will 3 Hull players. Wigan's golden boy Harry Smith was let off with a £250 fine and he's free to play in the World Club Challenge against Penrith.
I was just writing down mitigating factor number 1, contrary.
Hmm, yeah.
That's what rugby league's all about.
Mary, quite contrary, how did your garden grow? Wasn't that the opening line of that?
Yeah.
I saw Jack Hughes got off with a fine. Didn't know he was still playing. Yeah, Lee. Yeah. Half the Lee team were up on charges, but he got off just the £250. So,
is it a punchline?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, right, okay. It'd be worthwhile talking about Harry Smith for Wigan because there's been a lot of people saying that he managed to get off scot-free for the NRL match against Penrith Panthers this weekend.
I watched that. Yeah, I watched that while having a poo at 6:30 this morning.
But in breaking news, Rob, they're going to relax the rules for the World Club Challenge, so it won't
matter.
Oh,
it's good that we've got such conformity across the game now, where the rules are rules every week and they stay exactly the same, because that's always the way things should be. You know, if you go to court on a speeding ticket, it's always the same, isn't it? It's not kind of like, we're letting you off today because it happens to be Tuesday So the rule didn't apply today when you drove through the town centre at 110 miles an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Got you. And we'll just put you down for driving contrarily.
I've got one thing to say on the whole topic.
Well, in other breaking news, I think that somebody tweeted today, although I have to put this with a caveat because it comes from one of the rugby league correspondents, that the players were thinking about going on strike. I mean, I don't think they could muster that together between them. But if that much of resistance to these new rules is out there, it does make you question, how long do you think it will last?
Well, I mean, Dudson went on strike last week, so I mean...
That's true. Yeah. You know,
started the ball rolling, hasn't he? And staying with the rules of the game, St. Helens prop Alex Warmsley this week was quoted in the press as saying, "I have concerns about some of the developments we are seeing in our sport, and from speaking to other players, I know they feel the same. This season, we are seeing more changes to the rules. We are speeding up the ruck, policing correct play of the balls, and having harsher punishments for high tackles. Rules, I think you could argue, are in proportion and will improve the game. But from next year, the recommendations is that on all levels of the game, players will have to tackle on or below armpit height. If this is followed through, players across the game, including Super League and the Championship, will have to completely change their tackle technique, which will in turn alter the look of the sport for spectators. We will also be playing to a completely different set of rules than those in force in Australia and New Zealand. And my understanding is that the NRL has no intention of following us."
He's obviously listened to us talk about it last week. It's always difficult because you've got a bit of an oxymoron here with a tall player on about headshots, and he's probably least likely to get a headshot, being that he's about 6'8". And at the same time, he's concerned that he's going to have to bend his back to about, as I identified, under 4'4" to be able to make a tackle on the short player. So, yeah, it is going to change the way the game looks. It's going to change it completely. And when we mentioned it right at the beginning of this, how Wrench chased somebody down and shook his hand and gave him a quick hug, that sort of thing where it changes the attitudes of players is going to be more significant than the actual, rule itself.
Mm. It's a shame, isn't it? Because ING have come in and we've finally got, a bit of driven marketing behind the game. It's on every game's on TV. They've been on the news, da-da-da-da-da. Yet we've got this fucking turd hanging off the back that we can't get rid of. It's like one step forward, two steps back. Only Rugby League could shoot themselves in the foot, couldn't they? Okay. we've got Berlin in sight. We've got Daisy waiting for us back at home. It's all good. And just as we march into Berlin, we shoot ourselves in the foot. Ah, dear. I am a little bit fed up of people protecting all this bollocks on podcasts and the news. It's all, yes, no, it's all for the good of the game. No, it's not. Yeah. Listen to the people who watch the sport and the people who want to come into the sport. They don't want middle-aged men saying, "Oh, it's all right. No, this is absolutely..." And that would have been okay last year as well, wouldn't it? Sorry.
Oh, I say. Oh. This is where we needed Sam in it for a bit of balance. This podcast isn't really going positively, Mr. London.
Sam's behind the armpits. I mentioned it during the game, and he's all for... Because I said, "That's an illegal tackle next year. That's an illegal tackle." "No, it's not. That's an illegal..." "No, it's not. That's an illegal..." Oh, Jesus.
And this is going to get really bad because the interpretation of that, again, is going to come down to the referees. We're going to hate referees. And then it's not right because it's the rule that's at fault. But, mayo. Like I say, Tackle Bags is all about finding an alternative sport anyway. So,
And finally, for the first time ever, the NRL season will kick off on American soil with a doubleheader taking place in Las Vegas on Saturday, March the 2nd. First up, the Manly Seagulls will take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs, followed by the Sydney Roosters against the Brisbane Broncos. The NRL have advertised the game with the slogan, "No helmets, no pads, no timeouts, and no armpits." Did you see their advertising campaign?
Yeah.
And they're all smashing each other in the head. And it's really sexy and sizzling. And you're like, whoa! And even my 18-year-old daughter looks up from her phone for 2 seconds to go, wow, that looks pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I think the rules are fine, actually. I think I'm...
Oh, Christ.
I thought I was going to be the one ranting on about the rules. I didn't realise it had got to you.
You've got this like minority of like long-term rugby league fans and commentators that think it's fine.
Well, it's like the modern world, you see. You know, people want to just sort of say the right thing and to conform rather than just looking at it for what it is. Well, you feel alone.
It's Madam Boyd here, your trusted Primrose and Blue Coat. Now, firstly, a quick apology to anyone that was inflicted with the Adam Hills comedy last night in the ballroom. Now, as a small apology, the Benny Westwood breakfast sausage baguettes is now half price in the canteen. And don't forget, at 3 o'clock today, anybody over the age of 90 can enter the Dutson Meter Challenge. Yes, it's a perfect activity for those of limited movement. Heidi, hi. Stop trying to play it with your bum hole, Daryl.
Oh, yes. Oh, Samuel, it's wonderful. Well, look, the holiday camp no vacancies sign has gone up. If we carry on at this rate, we'll have the Toby King debt paid off by the end of summer season 2039.
These Primrose Courts are the talk of the tourism industry, Ralphie. We've secured more bookings than the mobile speed camera on just the road.
Oh yes, as I recommended with my tactical rimming. All it took, Samuel, was your firm hand. Oh, and 26 years of Mr. Moran blowing his money aimlessly out of his arsehole.
It's all about housekeeping, Ralphie. This camp now is spick and span.
Oh, yes, that reminds me, Samuel. Has Chambermaid Pitzpatrick finished off the punters' rooms on the Wilders pool wing? Yesterday, he did such a half-hearted job on the staff quarters, the B-Dame, Professor Broomhead and Stuart Middleton's chalet was dirtier than the Latchford Pizza Hut delivery.
I know, Ralphie. He's surplus to requirements now. By the way, we've run out of bog roll.
Just distribute a page of Callum Walker's League Express articles to all the guests. Oh, wiping their arses on it might ironically cover up the shit he's already written.
Oh, hang on, Ralphie. Another guest has just arrived. Yes, sir. How may I help you?
Is that you, Mother?
Oh, Chuckle Sucks.
Who is he, Ralphie?
He's what's known as a Super League referee. A bit like an NRL referee, just 10 times shitter.
Now, young man, I'd like a room with a view, preferably with a bath, and I'd like a wake-up call about 7 a.m. With a copy of the Yorkshire Post.
Just tell him that we're fully booked, Samuel. I'm off to check on Claire Balding in the penthouse suite. Apparently, she's struggling to pull back her heavy drape curtains.
Let's just pretend with Sam. I'll pretend I'm Sam.
Right.
Well, I really enjoyed the tactical rimming that was proposed. I really do think that's something that we should really look to adopt into our game with the RFL, considering that, you know, their disciplinary panels are a pile of shit. And Callum Walker articles. Well, another shit reference there. You know, I think that was thrown in. I'm beginning to think that this is written about Sam in some respects. And then the referees being shitter. There was another reference. So there was plenty of shitty references. And, Mr. London, what I really enjoyed is that you put a load of seagull noise in there, which are renowned for shitting on you. So I think you definitely were having a little jibe at Mr. Sankey's shitistics. Personally, I enjoyed the line of Claire Balding's curtains. I did enjoy that. Well done, Mr. London.
Join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of vlogging and the M62. Dennis Waywell is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of camper vans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing tackle bags. No way, tackle vlogs. No hang on, tackle books. Nope, that's wrong too. I had it right the first time. He just can't even be arsed to rebadge it. Welcome to Dennis's Tackle Bags. Or just skip forward for about 15 minutes.
Well, I'm torn this year between looking for alternatives and trying to solve the issues that rugby league has this year with these new rules and so on and so forth. So I think I'm going to mix it up a bit week by week, offer a tackle bags idea, but also look at some alternatives. But what snuck into my inbox as I looked down the well is that I noticed last week it was Shrove Tuesday, and every year on Shrove Tuesday is the fixture of the Ashbourne football match, which is the traditional football match that takes place over 2 days on Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday. And it's where the whole town play football and they have limited amount of rules. So you'll like this, Mr. London. The goals are 3 miles apart. The ball weighs 4 pounds. And there are two halves, if you like to call them halves, 8-hour periods that is between 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Across 2 days. So there's plenty of entertainment across them 2 days. Now, here's the interesting bit. They have probably the most simple rules. So when we've been talking about rules this week, think about these rules. The rules are no willful damage of property.
No,
and there's even a warning in there that if you go there in your camper van or your car or anything, that you're not insured and they won't cover any damage because it's your own fault, because
signed
you know
away,
that then. You've got, yeah, you basically got this. So the game consists of moving this ball between two sides of the town, and basically they call it a hug. So it is a bit like rugby league. It's not a scrum, but it's a hug of a hug, probably 30, 40 people. And they move this ball back in two. Going back to some of the rules, no play in churchyards or memorial gardens.
Oh, that's so, that's very respectful. Very respectful.
It is very respectful. Everything else goes. They did say that, you know, you could go into a shop, but you find that most shops board up the windows for the event.
So that's
pretty good. There is a new rule that they've introduced in the last couple of years. No motorised vehicles. So you can't...
Oh, you can't put the ball in... Yeah, back of a lorry, off you go.
Makes sense.
What are the scores like? Is it a high-scoring game? I presume it's nil-nil most of the time, is it? Yeah.
So, in fact, some of the rules are that if it starts at 2 o'clock, if you score a goal before 5 o'clock, the ball is reinstated, and then you can play on. But if it's scored after 5 o'clock, that's it for the end of the day.
Game over.
For the end of the day. And then it restarts again the next day.
That's good, isn't it? It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So there is just one more rule to add, and this has been since the beginning of the Ashbourne football match. Committing manslaughter and murder are prohibited.
You see, that's where the game's changed. I preferred it when it was prohibited. And I think it's gone downhill since.
You think they should reintroduce it, do you?
Yes. I feel if that game was being played between Aubrey Wodonga and Cooper Peedy, that law would be fine.
I would introduce Pendlewick Pirates into that as well. I think they'd be quite good at that.
What's the name of your coach?
I can't remember. I think he's been sacked.
In 2024, we celebrate 20 years at the Halliwell Jones Stadium. So here is part two of my A to Z of the first two decades at the HJ. D. D is for Daryl. Have we recovered yet? Daryl Powell took charge of Wyatt at the start of 2022 and presided over a miserable time at the club that finally ended in July of the following year. The former Castleford coach produced the worst season in living memory as Wyatt battled with a threat of relegation in 2022 and finished 11th, breaking all the wrong sort of records. Powell brought with him the disastrous signings of Peter Matautia, Oliver Holmes and Greg Minikin from Cass, but brought to an end the careers of stalwart Mike Cooper and Josh Charnley, with Gareth Widdop also leaving and Toby King being temporarily shipped out. Powell's legacy is the squad Sam Burgess is now tasked with working on, and the loss of further key players like Daryl Clark. E. E is for EastEnders. Yep, you heard that right. In 2011, the Halliwell Jones Stadium was used for filming of new BBC comedy drama series Candy Cabs. The programme, which followed the progress of a group of female friends that set up a taxi firm, used the HJ in their second episode, where fictional footballer Eddie Shannon has his wedding at the stadium of his team. For the day, the HJ was cosmetically turned into a football pitch for the series, whose main star was Jo Joyner, famed for her long role as Tanya Branning in EastEnders. F. F is for fire. In 2010, as the HJ hosted the Championship Grand Final between Halifax and Featherstone, the game was stopped in the second half because of a fire that had broken out in the female toilets of the West Stand. Halifax fans, who were standing in the West, were moved onto the pitch while firefighters arrived. By the time the smoke was dealt with, the game had been paused for more than an hour. The Halifax fans were moved to the East Stand for the remainder of the match, as they watched their team beat Featherstone 23-22 to win the championship. The cause of the fire was found to be deliberate. See you next time for part 3.
D is for Daryl, E is for EastEnders, and F is for fire. I had to tone down his Daryl one. I had to take a bit of light out. Got very ranty about Daryl. Right. Well,
I didn't really write anything down with this because I understand it's getting very tenuous now. You know, the EastEnders bit was a bit tenuous, and then this fire that was somewhere else.
Well, not the The big fire was at Wilderspool. I mean, yes. When the stand burnt down at Wilderspool 5 minutes after kick-off.
Is that an age thing that he overlooked that?
I used to love the old stand at Wilderspool. I can remember going with my dad, and you could look down into the sort of dressing room from a gantry in that old wooden stand. Very lucky. I mean, it was very nearly a Bradford. It was so, you know, it wasn't that much after the game that it went up, and it would have been a Bradford all over again.
Mm.
I can remember it all, you know, before it was rebuilt, sort of standing under the scoreboard, and that whole side was decimated the next season. Mm.
Did you think that the rebuild was like a pretty poor design? Always struck me that it wasn't the best use of space.
Mm. Didn't have anything, did it? Didn't have any billiard tables above it or a nightclub underneath. No, nothing like that.
Yeah, they should have just mirrored snookers, shouldn't they, on the other side?
Yes,
that would have been
could
good.
You imagine that? Mirrored it absolutely identical, both sides.
That'd look cool.
Yeah. That'd look great, that, wouldn't it?
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Wire open their first home game of the season at the HJ against Hull. The match is this Friday with an 8 p.m. kickoff. Before we review, here's Wilderspool Lena.
Hello, Wilderspool Lena here again. And following my perfect prediction of Wire's game away in France, here is my second projection. The probability of Warrington winning at home against Hull is 87.5%. See you next time.
Well, she's gone for a 87.5% chance of beating Hull. Last week, she gave Wire a 39% chance, and they scored 38% of the points. I mean, she's absolutely nailed it last week, Dennis. She's spot on.
I know.
She's inflicting some pain on Hull this week. She thinks we're going to run up a cricket score by the looks of things.
Well, I've read today again another thing that's come out. It seems to be a busy media day. Do you think IMG are having an effect? But I saw sad Tony Smith's face, and the headline was Hull may have 15 first team players out. So if that's the case, and we do know that the tribunal's being done tonight, that they're dishing out the bans for the Hull players. I think there's two or three of them up.
Yeah.
My other point on this, I've put home. Stan Burgess has still got the opportunity to make the HJ the fortress. You know, make it really difficult for people to beat us and make home. You know, at least 50% of the wins this season. And performance always starts at home. So maybe that should be the motto as well. So
right. I think we'll bounce back. I think we'll ricochet back with a good win because Hull are shit, and as you said, Tony Smith won't last the season. So I think we'll beat them by 87.5%.
87.5%.
We'll get 87.5% of the points.
Okay, I reckon we'll probably only get about 71% of the points.
Make a note of that.
What would Sam predict?
He predicted a win. I think it was in his little soundbite. He hasn't given a percentage.
Win by 0.1% for Sam.
0.1%. Yep, we got that. Okay, that's it. We'll be back soon when Sam will return to the podcast also. But until then, it's a goodbye from Dennis.
A senior.
And it's a see you later from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Should we talk about the disciplinary panel for a moment?
Fuck it, I'm off.
'Cause I loved you, I swear I loved you till my dying day. I didn't have it in myself to go with grace, and you're the hero flying around to save. And if I'm tears.